The Chair, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to offer thoughts on human and technical systems of control. We believe that the terms human control and meaningful human control are refined by Australia's system of control. The system of control offers a comprehensive frame and practice that spans 9 stages of the law's life cycle, with human involvement in the legal and policy framework, design and development, test, evaluation and review, acceptance, training and certification, pre-deployment selection, weapon use parameters, pre-deployment certification and training, strategic and military controls for the use of force, as well as after-action evaluation. In this light, the so-called working definition of laws in terms of selects targets and attacks without further human intervention, and the so-called critical functions to select targets and attack are situated in their rightful place in the system of control, within a small part of Stage 8 strategic and military controls for the use of force. As an alternative to oversimplified working definitions and critical functions, and to assist the Chair in his focus, we recommend separation of laws into 2 types. The first type we might call undesirable laws. First and foremost, these are excessively injurious and indiscriminate. Illustrating the L in laws is another oversimplification. They lack human involvement in any of the 9 stages of the system of control. We note that the law's characteristics discussed at this meeting may be situated within these stages. Let me convey 3 examples. The ability for a weapon to self-adapt, learn, or otherwise modify performance without recertification relates primarily to Stage 4, which was the acceptance, training, and certification. To be bound by human-specific, not be bound by human-specified constraints over time and space, including over launch or duration, relates to Stage 6, weapon use parameters. For the weapon to self-deploy without human approval or refuse to be recalled by humans, relates to Stage 8, strategic and tactical controls for use of force, and so on. The second type of laws, then, recognises military necessity and enhances humanitarian benefits, and we might call that desirable laws. These operate within a comprehensive system of control throughout the law's life cycle so as to comply with IHL and other relevant laws. They would support human accountability through the system of control and help to maintain command responsibilities clear. For example, in Stage 8 and 9, comprehensive electronic records, including perhaps weapon black boxes, may assist in operational post-action review and accountability. To have fully integrated human and machine decision-making would ensure the benefit of the strengths of each and the amelioration of the weaknesses of each. The use of AI and autonomy technologies to improve humanitarian outcomes of weapon effects, including enhanced precision, accuracy, and also protective actions. The ICRC may wish to consider the use of civil machine learning and control technologies developed for autonomous cars that detect and respond to a stop sign might one day be employed in all advanced weapons to recognise a red cross or red crescent and avert an unlawful attack. In conclusion, we note, as emphasised in the non-paper submitted by the Australian delegation, conscientious compliance with the Article 36 obligation would help to ensure that weapon systems, including autonomous weapon systems or lethal autonomous weapon systems, the use of which would not be consistent with IHL, would not be developed or acquired by states. We believe addressing human control in the context of Australia's system of control and practice offers a practical approach to frame and advance our laws discussions. Thank you, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen.